It's John Carlson on the phone from Los Angeles again.
Carlson?
He's from Apple Computer's ad agency. They want to do a commercial about us.
Would we get to be in the commercial?
No. Because we can't do it.
Why not?
Over the past 15 months, we've doubled our productivity. We've cut development time by a third.
That's what I mean.
Why would we go on national TV and tell our competition exactly how we did it?
It's a good point.
Hello, and welcome to the Colcast Best 30 Plus Minute Album Conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan, the sexy guy Elijah. Joining me today, the tech community knows if you don't give him the Apple news scoop he wants, he's going to come take it by force. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Erfan.
Cracks his knuckles. Also joining us, if your company is making cutting-edge toilet tech, he wants to hear from you. Lewis Wallace is here.
Swoosh, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Whoa, what was that?
Oh, you know, Buster's not here today. He is in, is he on the mainland in Hawaii? Is that what he's doing? Do you guys know what island
Maui.
He's actually on? Did he tell us?
Maui.
He's on Maui. Well, he's on vacation nonetheless. And he sent me a picture and it was very sensual. It was exactly what I recommended to him last week. I was like, if you're going to Hawaii, you got to have that Hawaiian look. It's just the open Hawaiian shirt with the Speedo on. And guys, he looks incredible. He's very tan. That thicket of hair on his chest and stomach and shoulders and back look better than ever before because it's been bronzed by the sun. Whew! Is anyone else perspiring? Is it just me? Okay, never mind. Let's move on. That's right. We've got a great gaggle of Apple stories to talk about this week. Here's what we've got. A new cheaper HomePod is likely on the way. I told you guys, we're going to get a whole slew of this product line, and I'm looking forward to it. Also, a leaked Apple email harkens the end of iTunes. We'll tell you more about that. It looks like changing the battery on your older iOS devices can bring some surprising performance increases. I don't know if you guys saw the video that came out this week, but someone did a comparison of a new battery versus an old battery on an iPhone 6S, and I was shocked. It made a huge difference. We'll talk a little bit about that. Also, an admission by the MoviePass CEO has users surprised and madder than a beehive. This was the story that almost everyone who listens to this show pinged me about on Twitter this week and told me about, so we will talk about this a little bit. And we'll wrap up with an all-new What We're Into. This is the segment where we talk about things that don't necessarily fit into the show. Technology-wise, these things might be movies, TV shows, other things that we are enjoying in our lives. My pick is one of my favorite things so far this year, and it's incredible. You guys are going to want to stick around for that. Before we dive into the news, let me go ahead and open my show notes and say thank you to Pitney Bowes for supporting this episode. No matter what you send or how often, Pitney Bowes is your sending solution. Print postage from your office and take advantage of special discounts such as saving 3 cents per letter and up to 39% off USPS shipping rates. Plans start as low as $5 per month. Visit pb.com/cultcast to learn more and sign up for a free trial. That's pb.com/cultcast. Terms apply. See the site for details. Also want to thank Casper for supporting this episode. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. It's the internet's favorite mattress, everyone. With three mattress models now, the original Casper, the Wave, and the essential Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural shapes and curves, Lewis. Oh, my. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. So if you sweat a lot like Leander profusely all throughout the night, you'll still be comfortable. You need to see a doctor about that, by the way. Yeah. Also, it's delivered right to your door in a small, how do they do that, size box with free shipping and returns in the U.S. and Canada. But the best part is that you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. After all, you spend one-third of your life sleeping, so they want you to be comfortable. Here's what you need to do. Head on over to casper.com/cultcast, casper.com/cultcast, and check out what they offer. If you decide to order a mattress, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll get $50 towards the purchase of your mattress at casper.com/CULTCAST. Terms and conditions do apply. I also recommend go check out the reviews of Casper online. Virtually everywhere they're reviewed, they have 4.5 out of 5 stars. People love the Casper. When I say it's the internet's favorite mattress, I'm not just being tongue-in-cheek. It's actually true. Everyone loves Casper mattresses. That's why they're taking over the bedding industry. Casper.com/cultcast. Okay. Let's see here. Ooh, we got to talk about this HomePod story. Oh, before we do, though, I want to make an admission. I just purchased my second HomePod. I'm preparing for stereo mode, Leander. I have one on the way. I don't know when stereo mode's getting here, but I'm going to be ready for it. So,
are you counting on it being soon then or something?
Actually, I have no idea when it's going to happen. It might be the end of 2018. And if it is, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the second HomePod. But
you're probably going to put it in bed, aren't you, and just sleep with it?
Well, it's already in my bed, actually. Stop. It's not anything weird. I'm not doing anything weird with it. I don't have it plugged in.
Just cuddling, right?
I'm not asking Siri to tell me that she loves me or anything like that.
You don't get bedtime stories?
Well, I do have her read me a bedtime story. That is something that I put a wig on it too. Is that strange? She's a blonde now.
Well, that's a good thing. She can be blonde.
I drew a face on the front. And sometimes I give a little kiss, you know, just a little kiss. So I've been keeping track of HomePod prices on eBay, and I got a freaking heck of a deal on eBay. And if you're on the fence about buying a HomePod, you should do this exact same thing, because people are selling HomePods for between $300 and $350 on eBay. And you might say, well, why would I buy one on eBay? I could just buy one from Apple. Well, if you buy on eBay, you don't have to pay sales tax. You might save $25-$30. But I got an open box model, which was just one that someone returned, for $300. $300 for a HomePod, no tax. And it still has the full Apple warranty, because the Apple warranty, you know, is attached to the serial number. And Apple products have a warranty for a whole year.
What the heck are you talking about? Open box that someone returned?
Yeah, so someone buys one and then they return it to like Best Buy, for instance. And then Best Buy will sell it at a discounted rate, which, by the way, they do.
Is that where you got it from, Best Buy?
No, I didn't get it from Best Buy. I got it from the seller was Blink.com, B-I-L-N-Q, I think. And they had like 10 of them, and they must be returns of some kind, and they just liquidated them for $300 each. And they still had the full warranty. So I couldn't resist. I was like, $300 for a HomePod? That's a heck of a deal for this incredible speaker. Have you guys heard the HomePod? It sounds amazing. No, I'm not going to go back into it. But so I'm ready for stereo. But in any case, back to the story. A version between $150 and $200. How do you like the sound of that? Probably going to be a smaller HomePod. This is according to a news report from Taiwan's Economic Daily News. I'm not familiar with how correct their record is. Leander, any ideas about that?
I'm not familiar with anything about them. I've never heard of them.
I've heard of them before, but I don't know how often they're right and how often they're wrong. So this unconfirmed report doesn't say what the features will be of a lower cost model, but they do say that it will probably be smaller, and then Apple is going to create different models for different price points. Of course, they're going to do that. That's what they do with all of their technology. It's not expected to be a replacement for the HomePod either. It's supposed to be a lower price alternative that is within the price range of people who don't want to spend $350, which I personally think is a very fair price for a speaker of the caliber of the HomePod. In fact, I think it's a great deal. Once you hear it, I know it sounds like a lot of money. It's almost $400 after tax. But once you hear it, once you hear how good it sounds, I think it sounds way better than the $350 speaker. So if you want to get a great deal on one, that's the best way that I have found at this moment. And, you know, I might even pick up a third or a fourth. Place them one in the bathroom, one in each room in my house. You know, that way I'm ready for the multi-room audio, too. Hopefully, we'll get the stereo support soon, which I think is going to come sooner rather than later. I'm guessing in the next 2 to 3 months we're going to have it. Thoughts on that, Leander?
Best guess? Yeah, maybe. I was going to say, you know, around the Christmas time, but
Christmas time?
That's still quite a long way away, isn't it?
Yes, don't tell me that. Christmas time, that's way too far off. I just know that this was one of the marquee features, and I can't imagine they're going to make people wait until the end of 2018 to activate, you know.
Yeah, I wonder what the delay is anyway. I mean, they had it working in demos last year, so.
Right. And plus, once they activate this, it's going to motivate people to buy extra HomePods. Right, because right now there's no reason to own more than one.
That's right.
So they want you to buy as many as possible. So in any case,
aren't they getting more popular anyway? I mean, there's a report this week that the shipping times are finally slipping, aren't they? So
they are?
It looks like it, yeah.
Well, let's take a look at Apple.com right now. What is it? Oh, did you guys see that new HomePod commercial, by the way?
Oh,
Spike
no.
Jones.
Yes.
God dang it, I haven't watched it yet.
You haven't watched it yet?
No, I want to.
Did you
to.
See it, Leander?
I didn't see any of them.
I don't know what it is about Apple that they're able to create advertisements that look like art. I mean, I hesitate to even call it an advertisement because it really has nothing to even do with the HomePod. It's just this woman dancing in this amazing Tesseract, you know, like in the movie Interstellar when he's inside that Tesseract interacting with his daughter. She's dancing essentially inside of one of those. And you can't really tell if it's done with CGI or if it's done with incredible props, but it's a very cool advertisement. And when you come away from it, at least for me, I was like, it made the HomePod feel like a very cool product. And for whatever reason, other retailers are not able to create advertisements like this. Like Samsung would never be able to create something like this. I don't know why. But if you haven't checked it out, I'll include a link to it in the show notes. It's one of those Apple advertisements that I think is actually worth going to look and see if you haven't just come across it naturally. Okay, let's see. How much is the HomePod?
Pick up today or order by 5 p.m. Delivers Saturday, March 10th.
Yeah. Mine says order by 5 p.m. Get it within 2 hours.
No, oh, that Saturday. That's 3 days.
Actually,
come on,
it does say that. Deliver within 2 hours fastest.
Yeah, it does.
So yeah,
oh, you could probably pay extra for that, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Maybe it was an no.
It was fleeting, Leander.
I'm looking
fleeting.
Now. There's all these news reports.
Well, they apparently got it back and start. They probably turn that feature on every other day, so people are like, "Oh, I better order," and then they just ship it to you immediately. It's totally a marketing ploy. I bet you anything it is. Anyway, Leander. Shall we talk about the end of iTunes as we know it?
Yeah, right. So
it's the end of iTunes as we know it. And I feel fine.
Me too. Who doesn't feel fine about that?
The only time I ever crack open iTunes is when I need to release an episode of the Cultcast. I use iTunes to edit the metadata for the episode, and then I close it, and I don't touch it again for another week.
Wow, that's far more frequently than I open it.
That's probably more frequently than most people. That's the question, right? Who still uses iTunes, and what's the future for it?
Right, so, the future looks bleak, apparently, according to a leaked email. So Apple could kill off iTunes in the near future, a new report suggests. It cites an email that Apple reportedly wrote to people in the music industry recently, announcing, quote, the end of iTunes LPs. So the iTunes LP format was first introduced in 2009 and let publishers add interactive artwork along with assorted iTunes extras to the music. And the LP format never really achieved great popularity. It never really took off. But the fact that Apple plans to ditch iTunes LPs in 2018 potentially hints at the possibility that Apple may stop selling iTunes music downloads in the near future. And according to a previous report in the New York Wall Street Journal, Apple Music is currently growing at a rate of around 5% each month, with more than 221 million people. More than 221 million people will have music streaming subscription by 2020, according to Statista. That's more than double the 106.3 million subscriptions just 2 years ago. So Apple Music service is also on track to overtake Spotify as the biggest music streaming service in the United States this summer. So it looks like, yeah, you know, I think it's a bit of a leap here, right? If they're doing away with the LP format, that they're going to be doing away with iTunes altogether?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't think this means that, I mean, them phasing out the LP format doesn't mean that they're phasing out iTunes. And there are still plenty of people who bought stuff on iTunes. It's not just music, right? It's movies and stuff. And I mean, okay, so you got this big library. I mean, sure, they could get rid of it, whatever, but they're still going to give you a way to play these things. I think what this is more talking about is just kind of the end of records, the end of LPs, you know, the end of thinking of things as anything other than here's a song, here's another song. I mean, this is something that Apple kind of started doing by, you know, with iTunes in the first place, is sort of killing the concept of the album, right? It became all about singles, kind of like it was way back in the 50s and 60s. So, you know, I don't read that much into this report. I don't think they're going to just, like, pull the plug on iTunes, although, you know, I've kind of been saying that maybe they would anyway for a while. I mean, definitely. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I played, you know, an actual album, a CD, oh my God, one of those, or even a file. Everything is streaming. Everything is streaming.
Right, right.
All right. Does anyone ever stream albums? I mean, because it tends to stream singles, doesn't it? You hear a bunch of different artists. Like, you know, have you ever tried to stream an album recently?
Oh, I stream albums all the time.
Absolutely.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do all the time too. But it's true that this whole like Apple Music and Spotify sort of world is it's built around playlists right now. It's not albums necessarily. Most people are listening to stuff on playlists. And tons of people now, you know, I've had this conversation with people in our band, like, let's make a record. It's like, well, why would we make a record? You know, what does a record even mean anymore? What does an LP even mean anymore? I mean,
that's an interesting perspective.
I have this, you know, nostalgic love of the concept of an album. And I remember buying records and, you know, flipping through the booklets that came with them and things like that. I mean, it was a thing of beauty, but it's sort of gone now. I mean, I know that they still exist, but, you know, it's throwback. I mean, I've come to terms with it.
It's all this competition from the vinyl industry, isn't it? It's finally killing off. Vinyl's coming back and it's killing off the digital LP.
I heard that Urban Outfitters is secretly like one of the biggest vinyl distributors in the United States. Like they're like the third, or they might even be the first, and they sell a ton of vinyl every year. And vinyl records now are insanely expensive. They're like $20-25 each, maybe even more.
Yeah, they're not selling nearly as many of those as people are streaming. I mean, it's just like such a tiny fraction of the market. Yeah. It's like being a collector, right? And I mean, I buy a CD every now and then when I go see a band. And I know that they need $10 to put in their gas tank to get to the next town.
Oh, so that's why you do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's... And, you know, some indie artists, right, you still can't get every single record on streaming. So, I mean, there are some things that I have ripped that I use the files. But almost everything you ever want to listen to seems to be on these streaming services now. So, it's... I mean, we still sell CDs at our shows. You know what it is? It's I don't know. Do people listen to them? I don't know. I honestly think it's like a way. Here's something that somebody buys so they can get your autograph, yeah, you know, and so they can basically support you.
Did you ever buy an iTunes LP? I think I bought one once, but I can't honestly remember what it was.
You know, I bet you I've bought like fewer than five in my entire life because it. You know, I was never into buying a digital track. I would buy a CD. I have a ton of CDs still. Never listened to them. I always felt kind of. I didn't like that being locked into the iTunes thing that much. I mean, this is a long, long time ago. I was just like, why would I do that when I can own the thing and then I can rip it in whatever format I want and then I can change format. You know, what if they come out with a new format? I just always felt like it was more economical and more sort of had a longer shelf life than whatever digital file.
You mean CDs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I never bought them.
I've always liked the idea of renting music. I've tried it on and off for the last 10 years. And I remember when Steve Jobs said that no one wanted to rent their music, everyone wanted to own it. And that never really rang true with me. I always, it's like buying a movie. Like you buy a DVD and then all of a sudden they release Blu-rays and you're expected to buy this movie again. And now they have 4K and you have to buy the movie again. And that's why I never really wanted to do that with music because... I don't need to own it. I just want to listen to it when I feel like it. And Spotify is the best platform I've ever experienced for listening to music. So I just have no need for iTunes anymore. I bet most people don't. But iTunes does so many things. If they did squash it, they would have to figure out how to dismantle it because it's like a Swiss Army knife, right? I mean, there's so many things in there that people still need, but they don't need it all to be inside of iTunes. They need a way to... manage their iPhone, you know, because you can use iTunes to like restore your iPhone, back up your iPhone. So they would need a tool for that. They would need to break out Apple Music into its own app. And then they would also need to enable Apple Music to allow you to buy tracks if you wanted and then also play tracks that you already have in your library. They would need to have a place or an app to allow you to listen to audiobooks. There's just all these pieces that are just jammed in there. But iTunes is so bloated right now that I never really think to use it for anything because I don't want to open it because it takes like 20 seconds to actually load. And then I have to like figure out how to use this really convoluted array of windows and menus to figure out how to go to exactly what I want to do. It's just not streamlined in any way. And it feels like it's just weighed down and bogged down. And so if they did anything, break out the audiobooks into their own app, break out iPhone or iOS device management into another app, and then focus iTunes. Well, change iTunes to Apple Music and then make that strictly music. So you can use it to listen to Apple Music and then also to buy tracks if you want to listen to your your music library, and then they would also need a video app. But that's a whole lot of apps, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
I'm like, and then they will. They just need seven things, seven different apps to replace it. And maybe that's not as easy as just opening up iTunes.
Well, this is why they haven't done it. Makes more sense. Well, they've done this on iOS.
Yeah, they have done this on iOS.
And I'm guessing, you know, the reason they don't do it on the desktop is because they don't want this proliferation of all these apps. And people are like, well, you know, where did that go?
Right. Where do I go to watch my movies?
Yeah.
But they did do it on iOS. That's a good point. So it looks like they're heading that direction. Maybe they're just trying to figure out how to do this on Mac. Because the one thing that the Mac version of iTunes does that the iOS version never did is manage iOS devices. That's an important element of it, right? You need to have a way to back up or restore your iOS device that's not in the cloud, because the cloud takes forever. Anyway, something to keep an eye on, and I doubt if they killed iTunes, anyone would actually miss it.
Well, you know, on the other side, there's discussion, you know, with HomePod, that there needs to be a HomePod app.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way you manage your HomePod right now is kind of a stinking mess.
You do it via the Home app, which is totally confusing, right?
There's no way to look at the music, you know, the way that you can. Like an editable list of songs would be, I think, a useful addition to HomePod.
How do you mean?
Well, you know, if it listed the songs that were playing, the songs that had been played, like a playlist, and then you could add songs to it, mm-hmm. and you could add playlists, and, you know, some way of radio stations or whatever, you know, like a million and one different things, rather like the Sonos app,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, not like the Sonos app, which is also a horrible stinking mess, because that's the weakest thing about Sonos. Is like, you know, the app, I think, is totally confusing. But if Apple could come up with like something like Sonos, I think, for managing the music that's playing through the HomePod, I think that would actually be a useful app on there.
They're going to end up building that into Apple Music, undoubtedly.
Well, see, but then Apple Music will end up like iTunes, wouldn't it? That would totally transform Apple Music into an iTunes-like app, you know, bloated mess.
Right. I see your point, because right now it's so streamlined just for listening to music.
I guess, you know, maybe there would be a tab in Music now playing on HomePod.
Mm-hmm.
Would that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Sure. You know, I haven't opened up the Apple Music app in so long that I don't even know what you're talking about. But I think you mean the little icons along the bottom, right?
Yeah. And I guess actually, you know, the music does kind of do that, because you can AirPlay it to the HomePod.
If you want to do that, that's all you got to do is just AirPlay it from your phone or your whatever and use it exactly as you're saying.
We've gone on about iTunes much too long. Let's talk about iTunes or iPhone battery performance. I just wanted to mention a new video came out this week, and if you haven't seen it, it compares what a device looks like when it has a fresh battery. It was an iPhone 6S, I think they were testing, compared to a depleted battery iPhone 6S, and the person was loading things side by side, and oh mama, did it make a huge difference. Leander, you saw the video, didn't you?
Of which one, sorry?
The two iPhones, one with a new battery, one with an old battery.
I did, I watched it, yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
Well, there's a difference, you can tell. But I thought the video was like a kind of weird comparison, because it was mostly about this benchmarks and also launching apps, you know. So the guys, it's interesting because it's apparently the same phone. He recorded it before he got a battery swap, and then afterwards, and he ran through the same set of tasks, mostly opening apps and waiting until they loaded and then closing them and then, you know, going back to the home screen and opening another app. So, you know, the opening of the app stuff, I mean, you can see that there's a difference there, but he didn't test things that I think, you know, the situations where in real life where the slowdown drives you absolutely crazy, like typing, right? And a lag in typing, watching videos, playing games. You know, he didn't do any of that stuff. It was just mostly opening up apps, and then he ran a bunch of benchmark tests. And then the benchmark tests, it showed it was, you know, significantly slower. But, you know, I wanted to see it in real life, like, you know, how much slower it was doing a bunch of everyday tasks.
That's interesting, because I thought it was a good representation of the speed increase, in that I feel like when you're loading things, if your device is old, that's oftentimes where you have the most weight. And when I was watching this video, I was so surprised by the speed increase. I was thinking to myself, I have to replace the battery in my iPad Air 2, because that came out in 2014. I'm still using it. It's basically a Reddit machine. I just use it at night before I go to bed. I just read endlessly for hours, keeping myself awake by the dinge of the blue light. And I feel like it's so slow now. I'm constantly waiting for things to load. I'll open up an app and it's like 2-3 seconds. And that was exactly what he was demonstrating in that video. And now I'm thinking, I wonder how much it costs to replace the battery in my iPad Air 2. Do you guys have any idea how much they charge for batteries for older iPads?
I don't, but you know we should send it is time for a plug. The Cult of Mac Repair Service.
Oh yeah?
It's but
can
it's
you get me a discount? Are you going to be doing the repair yourself?
I'll get you a night. Yeah, I got some Duracells out back. You know, and it's a bit boxier than it used to be, but it works still pretty works. Good. It's done by the folks that do the buyback program. You know, MyFunds Unlimited down in down south, and yeah. From what I can see, it's definitely the cheapest place. It takes a little while because it to send it in.
Yeah,
but the prices are you know even cheaper than your local sketchy. Booth at the mall and half the price of what Apple charges. I just sent in my son's phone to them to get it repaired, to get his screen repaired. And it was like $79, I think, for normally what is normally $150 repair.
Oh, for the screen? That is pretty cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
you don't know what they charge for batteries?
Well, let me see. Do you want me to look it up right
now?
Yeah,
check it out, would you? I'll vamp while you do that. So yeah, I'm considering whether or not I should hold out for the iPad with the Face ID, or if I should just go ahead and replace the battery in my iPad now. And Apple's liquidating the iPads right now, just the regular iPads. They're going on sale everywhere. Costco has them on sale. Walmart had them on sale. There was another retailer that I can't recall who had them on sale. And they are selling the 128 gigabyte models for like $300, which is an insane price for an iPad with that much storage. So I have a feeling they're going to be updated probably in June when we have WWDC. But I don't know, you know, the new iPads, if they do upgrade them and they lose the home button and they give it the new fancy true depth camera display, all the fancy camera equipment needed to do the Face ID and all that kind of thing, they're going to raise the price on them. You know that. And how much are you willing to pay for a 10.5 inch iPad? I think they're already expensive. The lowest tier model, I think, is $700 right now. Might be $600. I'll have to check the price. But that's a lot for an iPad. Do you remember when the iPads were $500? I mean, $500 I can stomach, but $600, $700, $800 for an iPad, that's just too much to me. Did you find it, Leander?
I did, yeah. It's $99.
For the battery?
Yeah.
And that includes shipping and everything?
Yeah.
So there you go. It's like, do you spend $99 to replace the battery, or do you just wait and get a better iPad? It's a tough call, but I use my iPad, you know, every single day. It's probably one of my most used iPads.
Yeah, well, the iPad Air 2 is a really nice, super nice iPad. That was a great, great iPad.
Yeah, I mean, it's served me well, but it is getting slow. I can tell there's something going on with the battery, and I've charged it. Well,
wait,
you know,
wait till the new iOS comes out, and then you can test it. You know, like how it'll tell you whether your battery needs to be replaced.
Well, that's so I am running the beta, and I tried to do that on my iPad, and there was no way to tell exactly how much the battery had been used. So I wonder if they're going to add that functionality to the iPad, or if it's just for iPhones.
You think they would?
Interesting. I never.
You
heard
think
that
they would? But why isn't in there now?
Huh. Does it have a little battery health tab?
It doesn't have a battery health tab. At least not on my iPad. My iPhone does. So for those that don't know what we're talking about, they're building in a new way to manage the health of your or display the health of your battery in the new versions of iOS 11. And I'm running a beta on my phone and I can see the battery information on my phone. But when I run that same beta on my iPad, that battery health information is not there. So maybe they just haven't added it yet.
I'll have a look. I'm running the beta on my iPad Pro at home, so I'll take a look.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, so if you get the new iPad, the 10.5 inch iPad, when they release it without the home button, it's like, geez, it's probably going to be at least $800. And I don't know if I could stomach an $800 iPad. I mean, for what is essentially something I use to read Reddit before I go to sleep. You know, it's kind of hard to spend that much cash on
Reddit.
Yeah, that's literally all I use it for. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to do with an iPad. Lewis, you love your iPad. What do you do with yours?
You know, I do basically stuff like that too. You know, read, answer email, do all kinds of stuff like that. You know, in a way, for me, having the iPad Pro is probably overkill. You know, I'm not an artist. I don't sketch things. I don't even, every now and then I borrow my wife's Apple Pencil to do something. But So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I sometimes wonder if I shouldn't have just got the $300 $329 one. I'm sure those are really good, but
I think they're probably perfect for most people.
Yeah, I mean, for that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't know though. I do watch I stream TV shows on there or something every now and then. I mean, it is awfully nice. It's like it feels luxurious to me, you know, like it's just so powerful.
Yeah, I wouldn't know because my iPad is 4 years old. Mine still works. It's still bumbling along. All right, let me touch on this MoviePass story and then we'll move on to what we're into. So, like 800 of you tweeted at me this week and said, "Oh my gosh, did you see what MoviePass is doing? You got to talk about MoviePass. Oh my gosh, did you know MoviePass is tracking your every move?" You know what? I don't care if MoviePass is tracking my every move. I was saying on Twitter, as long as they keep movies, unlimited movies at $10 a month, I would let them put a camera in my bathroom. They could put a toilet cam in my bathroom, and I'd let them do it. I don't care what they're tracking. It's unlimited movies for $10 a month. I mean, of course, they're going to be doing whatever they can to make this profitable. And I hope they figure it out, because every time I see their CEO talk about their path to profitability, I always come away thinking, you're going to go out of business. This doesn't make any sense. Every time I hear you speak about this, I still cannot figure out how you're actually going to make any money, because you're charging people $10 a month for unlimited movies, and then you're paying the theater full price for every ticket. So if someone even uses it once in a month, you are losing money on that person. Anyway, the controversy was the CEO, Mitch Lowe, was doing some interview, and he said that the MoviePass app is tracking an enormous amount of information about you, and they even watch how you drive to the movie theater and then where you go afterwards, which had everyone who cares about privacy alarmed. So like MoviePass is tracking me even after I leave the theater, and apparently they are. And of course this blew up. Everyone was mad about this. Well, by everyone I mean like probably like 100 people who actually care about their privacy. And a spokesman for the company said that MoviePass has no intentions of selling this data. The company at the moment is only exploring utilizing location-based marketing as a way to enhance, quote unquote, enhance the overall experience for you.
Right.
And give you more opportunities, AKA sell you things that you didn't know you wanted. And, I don't know. They're going to have to do something to make themselves profitable, because they're not going to be here in 6 months if they don't. It's funny. They keep touting how popular that their app is getting. And I'm like, of course, you're giving away free movies. I mean, if a grocery store said all groceries are going to cost you $10 a month, you just pay us $10 a month, you can come and get groceries anytime you want, of course it's going to be popular. That's an insane deal. I mean, it's not a business model. You're just giving away money, and people are smart enough to come and take it.
Are they burning through a bunch of venture capital cash?
They must be. They must be. I mean, they are giving the movie theaters the price of a ticket every time you go, and you're only paying $10 a month. And I go see at least one or two movies a weekend. In fact, I just saw two this last weekend that I'll probably be talking about here in a moment. And because I have a movie pass, I am going to see more movies now. And Lewis, you were just saying you're on the movie pass train now, right?
That is correct, sir, at your recommendation.
And I probably have sold 1,000 of these memberships so far. In fact, I wish they would pay me for these.
Kickbacks must be incredible.
I wish I was getting some type of kickbacks from this company. But it's such an insane deal that I find myself talking about it with everyone. And you said you've been seeing a ton of movies lately too, right, Lewis?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I got one for my wife. We even got one for a friend. You know, it's like it's unbelievable. It's so great to be able to just go see a movie, you know, like, oh, it's free.
It's free.
And it's I haven't had free any problems
because
at all.
If you use like the rewards card for the movie theater, then you get popcorn. I've gotten free popcorn like 6 or 7 times now. So I'm going to a free movie, and then I go up and I get my free popcorn, and I'm like, this is great.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to use the rewards card from your movie theater and combine the two.
I don't even know what is that called.
It's just, well, at Regal, it's just called the Regal card or something. So, and almost all movie theaters have reward cards. And then when you buy a ticket, they just scan it. And then after you've seen like 3 movies, you usually qualify for like a free popcorn or something.
Huh.
So it's turned my local theater into my living room. So I just pop in, you know, all the time and see movies. And someone was telling me that their dad has MoviePass and he won't even go see a whole movie. Like, he'll go and see, like, the last half of a movie if he has time. He'll just pop in and see, like, the last half of, like, Black Panther or something and then just leave.
Wow.
Right? Anyway, so that's the story on MoviePass. Let's move in, as long as we're talking about movies, let's move into an all-new What We're Into. Well, we'll be talking about more movies here in just a moment. This is the segment where we talk about things that we like in our life, not necessarily technology-related. They could be anything. Anything that you like. And mine happened to be two movies that I saw this last weekend. And no, they're not Jumanji. Though I have seen Jumanji seven times now.
How many?
Seven.
You're kidding.
Yeah, no, I'm like, let's just go see Jumanji. Wow. What should we do? Let's go see Jumanji. Why not? It's still in theaters. It's still great.
Do you know every word of it off by heart?
No, not yet, but I'm at like 60%.
Do you still love the same jokes and everything?
Oh yeah, there's so much packed in there, and the thing is how much I laugh is almost entirely dependent on the audience that I see it with now. Like, if I go in with a really boring audience that doesn't laugh at any of the jokes, then I just sit there. But if I go in with people that laugh at the jokes, then I laugh at the jokes too. It's weird how that works. Really? So yeah, some nights it's a good night. Some nights I just I go in there and I just sit there.
And just sit there like glumly?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Exactly.
So you don't know what kind of movie you're going to see then, huh? It changes for each viewing?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hilarious. Really weird. Sometimes it's tragic.
It's totally strange, isn't it? How much the audience reaction. Seeing a movie in a movie theater is so much better than watching it in your living room, because you have that feeling of camaraderie. Everyone's there experiencing it together. And that energy, you feed off that energy from other people, I think. And when they're having a great time, I always have a much better time. But in any case, Lewis, do you want to go first and tell us about what you're into this week?
Sure.
Okay, it's, what do you got?
You know, we're allowed to do older things, right?
Oh, yeah, anything.
Yeah. Super current or anything.
No, but
I've been catching up on a couple of TV shows on Netflix, and they're related. Daredevil and The Punisher. Are you familiar with these?
I really tried to watch Daredevil. That's the one with the blind guy, right?
Yeah.
I made it to like episode 4, and I was like, this is so boring. I cannot believe anyone likes this.
That's funny. You know, I had kind of a similar thing. I started watching this like back in 2015 when it first came out, and I watched like the first couple shows, and I'm like, oh, God. You know, it didn't hook me in the first couple shows. And then months and, well, years went by. Mm-hmm. Years. And then, of course, now I'm on this new fitness kick, so I'm spending more time in the elliptical, and I need something to watch, right? Okay, I need to watch something that the wife isn't watching. She's not going to watch this, I don't think. So I start watching it again, and I'm like kind of slogging through it. And okay, so then it gets to, they introduce the character, the Kingpin, or Wilson Fisk, you know,
yeah.
Played by Vincent D'Onofrio. Did you make it that far?
I did, yeah.
Barely? Or anyway.
I think I made it maybe two or three episodes with him and...
Well, I think he did a great job. And as that first season of that, as I got through it, I just kept getting more and more into it, you know? And I mean, I think it's just a great looking TV show.
Uh-huh.
And I think that D'Onofrio is a great villain in the end. You know, I love comic book movies, I've watched tons of them. But I'm kind of getting a little bit tired with the whole format, you know? So many origin stories and the whole build up to the gigantic battle at the end. You know, Marvel movies, I basically love them, but my favorite part's the comedy and the sort of CGI stuff that they throw in there, where, you know, I was talking with Leanne about this the other day, the whole thing of where I'm suddenly watching a movie and now I'm watching a video game as some character starts bouncing around like a character in a video game, and it's something snaps me out of it, and I'm just like, oh God, come on, you know. Uh-huh. But so that's what I like about these shows. You know, Daredevil and The Punisher both, they're super gritty. They're not, I mean, sure, there's CGI, but it's like, mostly these, to me, feel more like, you know, action movies from the 70s or 80s or something. They're grim and gritty and just kind of realistic, you know, as realistic as you can be with a blind guy who can, you know, perform all kinds of martial arts and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But,
doesn't he keep walking into furniture?
No. No, I don't know how much.
Doesn't sound very realistic.
I don't know if anybody's even heard of this. I mean, Daredevil, it's a character from the 60s Marvel Comics. You know, the main character is a guy named Matt Murdock. He's this blind do-gooder attorney. He gets blinded to some, you know, horrible accident when he's a kid. And he gets trained to be this, you know, vigilante. And it's basically, this is a lot like Batman Begins, you know, except the guy's blind. But it's similar to Christopher Nolan's Batman movies in that it's, you know, dark and they strive for realism. You know, the guy gets beat up, punched, and you know, everything. You know, it's classic sort of he loves the law but takes matters into his own hands when it fails set up. You know, he's a vigilante. You know, like Batman a little bit, but except this guy's not rich, you know. He throughout the first season, he's basically running around with a bag halfway over his head to protect his identity. But, you know, he's getting at all this, you know, great martial arts fights and you know, straight-up beatdowns. It ends up, I think it's pretty great, if you like that kind of stuff. I mean, it's kind of violent. But then, okay, you know, the best part probably, though, is not the main character, I don't think. I think the best part is the villain in the first season. I just started watching season two, so I don't know what's up in season two.
No spoilers here.
Yeah, don't know. But so I've just started that. And I'm kind of, I know that the Punisher gets introduced in season two of Daredevil. For some reason, I started watching the Punisher on my own.
Yeah, tell me about that, because I've heard good things, but I haven't seen a single episode of it. And I know it features the guy who used to be in The Walking Dead who played Shane, and he was great.
Yeah, John Bernthal. Right. Yeah. So the Punisher, this guy, you know, this character was created in the 70s. You know, he's an ex-Marine Special Forces guy who, you know, basically the same thing, vigilante, except, you know, he's more in, like, the Batman mode of, like, hurting people. and this guy is totally into guns. I mean, if you don't like guns and gunfights,
Leander's
do not
gonna
watch this show. Because it's, like, freaking, I mean, it's an NRA wet dream.
Is it NRA porn?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's crazy amount of gunfights and just really brutal, violent fist fights and knife fights and, you know, lots of Bernthal, like, screaming
that
as
was
he
good.
You know, stabs the hell out of people. I mean, it's really, I mean, it's borderline too violent for me, you know. But it's, if you like that kind of, like, comic book movie that actually seems moderately possible, you know, like the way that Christopher Nolan did with the Batman movies, you know, making them not funny, not campy, nothing.
So very dark and gritty.
This is like super gritty.
But what's
compelling
about it?
Well, you know, this guy. I mean, Bernthal is kind of fun to watch. You know, just as a like kind of a deranged psychopath, who's out to, you know, kill everybody who ever crossed him. And you know, when I say cross him, that's a little bit of an understatement, of course. You know, it's like he killed his wife and family. And, you know, he got in – his backstory in this thing is he was a Marine who was got into some nasty CIA business in Afghanistan, you know, torturing people and doing stuff like that. And so he decides to go after the people who were responsible for that because they're the ones who, you know, killed his family.
Donald Rumsfeld? George Bush?
It's actually God. I can't remember the actor's name, but the guy who plays like the main CIA guy, Agent Orange, is what they call him. I can't remember the actor's name. It'll come to me in a minute, maybe. But you know, he's fine. I don't know what gets me going about it. I don't know, man. Is it the violence? Is it just not really knowing what's going to happen? I mean,
not knowing what's going to happen. He's going to whip out his gun and shoot the.
I mean, okay, part of what I like about it is just seeing this guy be a complete and utter badass, you know?
Why I love Dr. Disrespect. You like the same things.
what red-blooded American male
That's
doesn't
right.
like seeing an actual badass?
You see a real man, you can't help but love it.
Is it homoerotic?
Yeah, tell us about that aspect of it.
That is not one of the terms that I would use.
Isn't he always kind of sweaty and he sees his muscles and he's grunting a lot?
Listen how excited Leander's getting now. He's definitely going to put it as cue.
It sounds tedious, to be honest. It sounds like it's like, haven't you seen this a million times already?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I get it. Yeah, it's not the most, you know, fanciful, creative, uplifting thing. No, it's not. It's definitely not. It's almost like
cliched, you know, like, because how many, I haven't seen it, so maybe it's not fair, you know, like, but it looked like it was tedious. It looked like it was like something you've seen a million times before. like every other gun show.
I'm pretty sure that you would probably hate it, Leander.
I like Voltron.
Yeah, you didn't like Walking Dead. You'll definitely hate this.
What I liked about that was that there were times when it came super close to brilliance, The Walking Dead. You know, I mean, the violence was extremely violent, but there were times when it totally transcended, you know, its violent origins, and it became, you know, I think almost so great. But that was what was frustrating about Walking Dead, is that it came so close many times and then blew it.
Man, season two was so good when they go to the CDC. They go to CDC. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That was one of my favorite episodes.
But I thought there was a lot that was truly original in Walking Dead, wasn't it? It wasn't your typical, your zombie saga. There was all sorts of stuff about heartbreak and grieving, and you know, it wasn't just sort of about just survival, which I thought was what made it interesting.
Yeah, and I love that show too. And I'll admit, I mean, you know, Punisher for sure is way more like, you know, it's basically like a Rambo template or something, right?
Oh yeah.
But what I like about these shows is that they don't have that like cheesy network TV feel. You know, these things feel like freaking crime movies from the 70s. You know, real like, and honestly the way that they look, the cinematography, I find it really compelling. And you know, it is what it is, right? I think that I never read the Punisher comic books ever. Apparently they're super popular. But I did read Daredevil comic books way back in the day, you know. And so to see that character particularly brought to life on the screen is sort of like, wow, they did a good job with this. And that one takes place in Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan, right? And it's this sort of, you know, seedy New York thing. And the whole thing with that is, you know, he's a protector of Hell's Kitchen. And it's all about sort of like, you know, standing up for the little people there, right? Taking on corrupt cops and stuff. And that's what the Punisher's doing too. And you know, at some point, like I said, in season two of Daredevil, those two hook up or something.
Oh,
somehow come across each other. Yeah, hook up is the wrong word. But
all right.
Talk about homoerotic. Oh my God. Anyway, so I recommend them. If you like gritty, violent stuff, if you're not, you know, queasy about seeing people beat to a pulp or, you know, stabbed to death.
Oh, I love that.
Blown away. It's pretty hardcore. I gotta say, I was pretty shocked at how hardcore, especially the Punisher is. But, check them out. That's what I say.
Okay. Punisher, Daredevil, both on Netflix. Leander, what do you got for us?
Well, actually, mine's gonna be a tech thing that I just started reviewing.
Okay.
And it's a security cam for your car called the Owl Cam.
Owl? Like, woo-hoo.
Yeah, like, woohoo. it's kind of like a drop cam, you know, like sort of, but instead of using Wi-Fi, it uses an LTE cell phone connection.
Yeah.
So this thing is always connected to the network, and it's a little battery-powered little box that you put in front of your windscreen, and it has two cameras. One is facing out towards the road, and one is facing inwards into the cabin. And these cameras are on all the time, even when the car's off. And so it's like a security camera. You know, when the car's parked up, it has a little blinking lights, and you know, like it warning people that it's watching. And if anyone messes with your car, if it gets bumped, you know, the lights go on and it starts recording and sends you an alert to your phone. And it's also, you know, we'll do the same thing in like a crash situation. So it's like a dash cam, you know. So it'll keep a record, you know, if you're in any kind of in any kind of accident, or if the cops pull you over, it records everything. And I was interested in because for security, because my little car here in San Francisco has been broken into about five times in the last couple of years.
Uh-huh.
And it just seems to be like a magnet for break-ins. But what was the number, Lewis? They had what, 30,000 here in San Francisco?
I think it was like,
was it 80,000?
80,000 or something, some outrageous. But then they arrested one person. You know, way to go, San Francisco police! Oh my God!
Car break-ins and car crime is off the charts here. It's just, you know, it's crazy. It really is.
the glittering
streets.
Well,
do you think that camera is really going to stop them, or are they just going to steal it the next time they break into your car? They're like, sweet, a camera, let's take it.
That's the first thing I said. Yeah, you know, I think it is. It's actually going to... It's going to get stolen in like a minute, but we'll see. I mean, I've had it in a couple of days.
but if it does get stolen, or something.
It'll take a picture of the thief, supposedly, which of course gets sent to your phone, and then you can show it to the cops, and they'll go, "Oh, that's nice, you know, move along."
Yeah, we don't care, sir. We just don't care.
But the company will replace it for free
if it gets stolen.
The camera, if it gets stolen,
Wow.
And
the camera. Not the MacBook you left in the backseat.
Well, I don't leave anything in the car, you know, at all.
Yeah, and, right.
I've learned that mistake the hard way, because when I did leave things in the car, they got nicked.
Right.
It's developed by one of the guys, Andy Hodge. He was like, he ran Apple's iPod hardware production design for, you know, a good decade or so. So he was responsible for almost all of the, 18 generations of iPod. Or whatever it was, plus the some early generations of the iPhone 2. So you know it's got that kind of Apple. It's the full stack. You know the software and the hardware and the services. It's nicely integrated. It's a really nice product. The setup was amazing. You know, like it put a little Q code up on the screen. You point your phone at it. Almost instantaneously, it's paired, and that was it. You know, you don't have to type in a password. You don't have to type in a username. You don't have to set up an account. It's great. I was really, really impressed with that. And then since then, it's been fantastic. You know, the thing has been sending me, it's speech activated as well. So you can say, okay, presto, and it starts recording, but then it backtracks for 10 seconds before and gives you a 30-second clip of what's going on in the road. So I've been saying this. I've been driving down the road, you know, like we pass a bicyclist, there's a fire truck coming, you know, at a stop sign. It's fun, and it uploads immediately to your phone. I think it's a really, really well-done gadget. Really, really well-done. Like, exceptionally good.
Well,
you know,
what about
it's rare to see something so well-done.
What about the LTE? I mean, you're uploading video constantly to LTE. Who's paying for that?
Well, I haven't dug into that. So it'll upload clips in real time. So if someone bumps into your car or tries to break in, you get an alert, and then you'll be able to see the video immediately. And you can, and also if you do, if you tell it to record a clip, you know, an OK Presto clip, that'll upload.
So it's constantly recording, but it only uploads clips if it needs to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And then if you want to, then you can go back and you can see the last 24 hours.
I see.
The entire 24 hours, but I'm not sure. Like I started doing that, and it didn't work. So I don't think it's working over LTE. I think you have to do it. Maybe by Bluetooth or something like that. When you're actually in the car, you have to be close to it. But I could be wrong there. So I haven't actually looked into that particular feature yet.
I see. So it probably uses limited data only if it needs to actually send a video clip.
Right. And the data is included for the first year. But then after the second year, you have to start paying for data.
Which is...
You pay for the connection. But I don't know. Hold on. Let me look it up.
Yeah. That'd be interesting to know. Because, you know, uploading video via LTE, that can't be inexpensive.
No. And it's HD video too. So...
That's not too bad. At least it's not like 4K HDR. So you can watch the guy steal your car in high def. Or an ultra HD, the guy the police don't care about, nor will they ever apprehend. You can see what he looks like. You can see him doing a 150 down the freeway in your car.
Okay, so it costs $350 at launch, and it includes 10 months of LTE service. After that, it's $10 a month for the service.
Oh, well, that's not too bad. I mean, if you were going to connect it to your AT&T account, they would charge you $10 a month just to have like a device connected to your data plan, right?
Right, exactly. So, and a lot of companies, the security, you know, these camera companies, they just about all of them charge for storage, right, for videos. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you want to go back and check your videos, you've got to pay. And what is it for a drop cam? The storage charges?
I have no idea.
But I think they're about the same.
So how much did you say this was, Lander?
$350
for the Alcam. I will link to this in the show notes. Okay, let me take us home. So I saw two movies last weekend. The first is my pick, which I'll talk about in a moment. The second was Black Panther, which was great. I wasn't sure what to expect from this movie. It's so political in nature, and it had so much hype, and I wasn't sure if I could believe the reviews, but it was so good. I highly recommend it, and there's lots of laughs to be had, and I'll tell you, one of my favorite parts of the movie was the bad guy whose name escapes me, but he's played by the guy who plays Smeagol. did you see Black Panther?
I haven't seen it, no.
Oh, okay. So the main bad guy is the same dude who plays Smeagol in the Lord of the Rings movies, but he's just totally yoked. I mean, the guy must have pumped...
Okay.
The guy must have pumped iron for years before he took this role, because it hardly looks like him. And he was
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis, right.
Yeah.
He's probably going to win some type of like award for his performance in this movie, because it was so good. Anyway.
Is this the first major role without digital?
Oh, it has tons of digital.
Live action? No, but his first live action role.
Oh, his?
He always plays digital characters, doesn't he? He was in Planet of the Apes.
That's true. I think this might be the first time he hasn't acted in a full green screen suit.
Crawling
catchy, on the ground on all fours. Is his first upright role. and he nailed it. Anyway, that wasn't what I was going to pitch. The movie I was going to pitch was Annihilation. I have to say it slowly because I keep screwing it up. Oh my gosh, this movie. So 2 years ago, I pitched a movie called Deus Ex Machina, which was one of my favorite movies of the year. It's a sci-fi. Well, that director put out this new movie, Annihilation, with Natalie Portman is starring role. Have you guys...
Annihilation.
How am I saying it? Annihilation. That's what I was saying before, and I had a guy tell me that's not how you say it. So, say it again.
Well, that person's
Annihilation,
not
right?
You should listen to.
Right, yes.
There you go. Not inhalation.
I think it's called exhalation.
Annihilation.
Celebration? No, it's celebration. So, anyway, the premise of the movie is very mysterious, very strange. There is this pocket that has developed on Earth. And I'm not spoiling anything. You learn this like the first, I don't know. Well, if you see the preview, you learn it right away. There's this pocket that has developed on Earth, and they are trying to figure out what is happening inside the pockets. And the pocket is there, and it's surrounded by what looks like the wall of a bubble. So it's like translucent and kind of like colorful and stuff. And the reason they're trying to investigate what's going on inside is because the bubble keeps growing, and they're worried it's going to keep consuming more and more parts of Earth. So they send in these teams, but every time they send in a team, the team doesn't come back out. And they have no communication with the team once the team goes in. So the big question mark is, what is inside this bubble? So Natalie Portman and this team go inside. And inside is one of the most bizarre, weirdly beautiful worlds you could possibly imagine. And you would never be able to guess what would happen inside. It's so wonderfully imaginative and mysterious and eerie and strange and imaginative. And the ending leaves just the right amount of questions unanswered. So when you walk away from it, there's all these little cookies they've given to you that make you want to see it again, because there's all these little mysteries that they don't really fully explain. And so you don't know exactly what you just saw. And so you're left. It haunts you after you leave. You're just kind of thinking about it, trying to figure out what the hell you just experienced. And it's one of my favorite movies. Well, one of my favorite sci-fi movies I think I've probably ever seen. It's definitely in my top 10. I saw the preview for it in the last 6 months because I've seen Jumanji like six times, and they kept playing the preview for it. So every time I saw the preview, I kept thinking to myself, this movie looks really good, but I'm going to have to wait and see how good it actually is. Well, it surpassed my expectations. It was even better than I had hoped it was going to be. So if you like sci-fi movies, it's in theaters now. It's called Annihilation. Right, Lewis?
Boom! It's getting really mixed reviews.
Is it?
And the studio dropped it. It's coming out on Netflix in a few weeks.
No.
Yeah, because it's not getting international distribution. They thought it was going to be a bomb. So they dumped it on Netflix.
Well,
so
I definitely recommend seeing it in the theaters while you still have time, if it's still in the theater. You know, that's curious, because when I went to see it, it was on the smallest screen the movie theater had, and I thought that was really weird. They must not have marketed this movie very well.
No. The studios held on to it for a couple of years, I think. It's, they really didn't have any confidence. They thought it was too ambiguous, too intellectual for to be a big hit.
Interesting. I wouldn't say it's too intellectual. There's not like highbrow theory and stuff that they talk about. It's not a very dialogue driven movie. In fact, there's not a lot of speaking in the movie, period. But there are a lot of strange concepts that happen once you're inside the bubble. They don't explain a lot of it, so I could see why a lot of people would just come out of it confused and not necessarily enjoying it.
I gotta say, man, I had the exact same sort of like, oh my God, I love the previews, but like the exact opposite experience.
You saw
it? Yes.
You didn't like it?
No, I wanted to like it, and I felt like it was a movie that wanted to be really smart, but just, I don't know, man, somehow it just left me going, God, really? I just felt so disappointed. I totally agree with you. I mean, like, some of the visuals were awesome.
Yeah.
And that part of it was very creative, but, you know, the whole, like, team of people slogging through the no man's land to get to the objective, that part of it was just kind of... to me that felt cliched, but and the end was like, I don't know, I it left me with so many answers so many questions unanswered that it was like, I don't even really know if they know what they were trying to do. So you said that there were a lot of like little clues and things that, so maybe I'm just not smart enough to appreciate this.
Well,
movie.
I don't think it has anything to do with intelligence. I just think that it's like Cloverfield, they leave so many things unanswered that it leaves you hanging in many respects. And some people don't like that. They want everything to be tied up by the end of the movie. Like, it's not Mission Impossible, right? They don't explain every mystery and then wrap up the movie and roll the credits. They leave things in your hands. They leave things up to your imagination. And it's up to you to figure out what the meaning of certain things are. And I don't think there's any right or wrong answers. It's just they don't tie everything up. And I don't mind that. In fact, oftentimes I like that. But they have to at least answer some questions. Otherwise, you're like, what the hell did I just watch? Mm-hmm. And I felt like we got enough information to know what was going on. We just don't know exactly what the resolution was.
Yeah, I kind of got like the very last part of it, you know, just was sort of like, oh, God, I don't know. I felt like he was trying too hard to be arty and not really delivering a message like I would like to see.
But, well, I got a message, and that message is, Lewis sucks.
Yeah. Go watch The Punisher, dumbass.
Yeah, exactly. So we go ahead and wrap it up there. I think that's all the cult cast we should give people this week. I think they've had enough. Alrighty. If there's anyone that's still here, that's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. Haven't you had enough? I mean, you're about to hit the stop button anyway. But if you want to come say hi to us, if you want to talk to us about any of the stories we mentioned in today's show or any of the products, we're on Twitter. I'm at AirFun. Leander is at LKane. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I'm losing my voice. So I didn't mean to clear my voice right in your ear there, Lewis.
Ooh, so sensual.
You're so late, both of you.
I put the link in about 10 minutes ago.
What?
What? I just posted it like 2 minutes ago.
Well, you know what I'm saying. It took a while for it to...
To load?
To load, yeah.
What the heck? Well, you guys sound crystal clear.
Yeah, it's looking good.
Sounds like you're sitting right there. I can almost smell you.
I just showered.
You did?
Yeah.
All right.
Anything for the cult cast.
Wow, you are polished. Look at this. I haven't showered in... a week.
Yeah, me neither. Our show's all ripped up at the moment.
Why?
Well, we're getting it redone.
Oh, and you only have one shower?
Yeah.
So what do you do if you need to clean yourself up? Just hose in the front yard?
Well, I've been going to the gym, and so I've been showering at the gym, and there's a shower here at work. I had to drive my son down here last night for him to shower here at work.
Oh, my God. All your, like, 45 family members all need to shower?
Well, there's only four of us at home now at the moment.
Oh, I guess
we have a unit, you know, like an Airbnb unit. But there's actually this German guy in it at the moment, so we can't. The plan was we were going to shower in there, but then Tracy rented it out.
he's like, he's Americans are so stinky. Have you not showered? Oh my goodness.